This week on Geek Edition. It may have started with mere 8-bit melodies, but these video game songs have stood the test of time. Now, fans get to experience decades worth of music from Zelda as symphonies pay homage to this classic video game. Hi there, I'm pop culture journalist Dyer Oxley, and this is Geek Edition, reporting on the stories that make us nerds, and a little bit more. You know, when home video game consoles, like Nintendo, really emerged in the 1980s, obviously the graphics weren't as evolved as they are now. Space for data was limited, and that included space for sound, for music. So composers had to figure out how to develop songs on a small scale. And that's not the case anymore. Despite getting an 8-bit start, these musical compositions have grown into the modern stage, with full symphonies giving them new life, and fans packing the seats to hear and see it all. Imagine attending a classical concert, orchestral music, in a theater setting. Maybe some folks are dressed up a bit. At any given night, these musicians are performing Beethoven, Mozart, Tchaikovsky. But tonight, they are playing Zelda. More specifically, what you are hearing is Zelda, Symphony of the Goddesses. It's a traveling production that presents the music of Zelda, the video game that has more than 30 years under its belt, spanning nearly 20 titles.
The Zelda Symphony is an interactive video production concert of orchestral music, which shows scenes from the video game Zelda through its 30 years of existence, while they listen to the live soundtrack being played by professional musicians on the stage.
That's Kevin Zakreski. He's a Vancouver, BC-based conductor who tours with the production, and it's quite successful, this video game concert.
You know, so last year we did 79 shows around the world. You know, that's 79 is a pretty ambitious cycle for a year.
And this is Steve Lemke with Digital Olive Productions. Now, while Kevin leads the music, Steve handles the video presentation for the concerts. And yeah, you heard him correctly, 79 Zelda concerts a year. Productions like Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses, they are becoming more and more common. That is, orchestral music drawn from pop culture. There are touring productions of music from Star Trek, for example. Ramin Djawadi, the composer known for scoring Game of Thrones or Westworld, he has toured his music and sold out arenas that usually see rock bands. The company that puts on Zelda concerts also does a show called Replay, Symphony of Heroes, which is a presentation of a range of scores from God of War, Medal of Honor, Castlevania, or Halo. It's a popular show, but Zelda really packs them in.
Starting in about 2006, we started doing a lot of video concerts just because that's kind of where orchestras are going now. They have to come up with a new gimmick to attract younger audiences. And so you're getting a lot of movie concerts like Star Trek and Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. So we started doing stuff like that. And then video games have really started to increase in popularity as far as the music goes. Like there's a Pokemon tour, there's Elder Scrolls, you know, Square Enix stuff, there's Zelda, there's quite a number of these different video game concerts that are touring around now. Zelda's an easy sell, you know. When you're a fan of Zelda, you are a fan of Zelda. People, you know, I've seen people all over the world with tattoos, you know, whether it's Triforce tattoos or Link tattoos on their arms, or, you know, people just really made a connection with this growing up or in school or whatever. And it's lasted, you know, over 30 years.
Both Kevin and Steve may be from the Northwest, but this concert is an easy sell all over the world.
So we just got back from Mexico City. We played at the Auditorio Nacional, which is the most famous venue in Mexico. Almost 7,000 people were there. We were in Birmingham, England over Easter weekend, Buenos Aires, Argentina, and Santiago, Chile back in March.
The show is produced by Jason Michael Paul. They usually work with local musicians from the cities they visit. They handle the marketing and so forth. And when they show up, seats are filled with Zelda fans.
New Zealand and Singapore and Australia in August. We're going back to Europe in November. I got Dublin in December. All over the United States and Canada for the rest of the fall.
This is all for Zelda.
All for Zelda.
They've taken this music from the games, from these little 8-bit era compositions, backing Link as he'd fight off a Moblin or a P-Hat, and they have morphed this well-known music into an entirely new experience.
These people who come to see the Zelda concert spent their whole life playing games, listening to computer-generated music on little tiny speakers in their game consoles. You know, little beeps and blips. And now they hear a 90-piece orchestra playing it live. It's quite a different sensation. I see the faces of the people in the audience, and I see grown men weeping, sitting in the front row, being blown away. It's very powerful to hear the live instruments and the volume and the power generated by the orchestra.
The Legend of Zelda was first released in 1986 in Japan. It came to America in 1987. The music was scored by Koji Kondo, who also composed music for Super Mario Brothers. He has created the sounds of Zelda and the Mario Brothers all along the way, from the 8-bit cartridge to the games for Nintendo's 3DS or the Wii.
The Zelda music is really some of the best written for video games, and I think probably because of its cinematic nature, the sort of sweeping melodies, the large percussion section, just the grandeur of the orchestration. And what's so great about the Zelda Symphony is you get to hear a Link Between Worlds, or like a really early version, being orchestrated alongside what is coming out now from Breath of the Wild, which is the latest Zelda incarnation. If the original 8-bit Nintendo was like two dimensions, and then, you know, you take that and you turn it into an orchestral score and it becomes three-dimensional, it's like the fourth dimension is when the Breath of the Wild score takes place in the sixth movement, and all of a sudden you close your eyes and you're out in nature listening to an orchestra. It's a really cool new sort of development in the Zelda Symphony progression.
Talking about a Link Between Worlds, Kevin touched upon perhaps an unexpected point. Zelda, not surprisingly, is played by gamers all over the world on modern technology. But the music has this global nexus, this connection with all of us.
It's sort of like a European person listening to American film music. Like, classical music wasn't just contained in Europe, but it traveled across the Atlantic to America, where many people were using it commercially in films. But the Americans definitely created a sound all of their own that was being done on the west coast of this continent. But I think many of us here in North America didn't recognize soon enough that actually the Western tradition of classical orchestral music kept going across the Pacific Ocean to Japan, where it was then being used in these really sweeping, beautiful scores for video games. You know, I think Zelda is just one great example. It's personally some of my favorite video game music, but it was not something that we would have studied in school, and I think that's a bit regrettable. There's a definite sort of Japanese flavor to the counterpoint and the harmonies that you can almost pinpoint as soon as you start hearing a video game score. I suppose it's in many ways the same way that a French or a German person would hear American music and think, oh gosh, that's a distinctly American sound. And so as a student of Western counterpoint, I get to see the way that Americans and Canadians and Australians and Japanese people then take all of those lessons they learned from these great composers and apply it to the sounds in their own lives and their own imaginations. So exciting.
What's also exciting is this orchestrated pop culture has had a sort of unique effect on the classical music industry. I mean, industries are always trying to reach out and cultivate that next generation of an audience. But in recent years, there's been some concern over the survival of some orchestras. I found an old article in Time magazine that referred to the orchestra as cultural dinosaurs. And the Great Recession didn't help much either. Symphonies from Honolulu to Albuquerque faced closure. In 2011, the Philadelphia Orchestra filed for Chapter 11. But productions like Zelda and other pop culture presentations, they're proving that this musical medium isn't passé. It's very relevant, and it still makes an impact. And some of that has to do with folks like Steve, who come in and handle a visual aspect to the show. For Zelda, Steve operates a series of live cameras and a giant projection screen.
It's about 18 by 32 feet, and I show footage from the game, both player capture footage, intro videos, things like that from the game that has been edited to fit the music. At different points in the video, we just go to a background and I bring up a picture-in-picture box and show live IMAG of the musicians playing. So when the flute solo happens, I'll kind of do a close-up of the flute player and put her up or him up on the screen. That kind of gives the audience a little closer look at where the music's actually coming from.
All these sights and sounds hit the audience. It creates this orchestral concert like no other classical show.
Conducting the Zelda Symphony, there's a sort of buzz or a hum, I guess, in the audience. And though it's not audible, you can definitely feel it behind you when you're conducting. And I am sure that the players feel it as well. This sort of unbridled love. I have yet to conduct a Zelda Symphony where I haven't left feeling as though the audience was with me the whole time.
We kind of like to have that rock concert atmosphere. First of all, the symphony musicians aren't used to people really responding to the music like that. So when they start and you hear the first strains of people's favorite game and the crowd goes nuts because they know that this is, you know, Dragon Roost Island or whatever, they go nuts. And you can see the musicians kind of smile like, oh my gosh, what's this? You know, they're screaming already and we just started playing.
And by the way, when you look out over that audience,
you know, you get people showing up dressed, you know, in cosplay. There's a lot of Links and a lot of Zeldas and a lot of Hildas out there and Ganons, and people have some pretty extravagant outfits.
There's something very exciting about seeing the different generations of audience members who come to Zelda, and that is new for sure. The audience demographic is there's a greater age variety at Zelda audiences, so that's sort of fun.
Now, for example, just take this passing conversation I had with Steve's girlfriend, Teeny.
So when people would ask Steve what he did when he worked at the orchestra, he would tell them and they'd be like, oh, that's great. And they'd move on to the next subject. But now when he tells them what he does, they want to have a big, long conversation and they're super excited. And like, my dad's the same way. My dad's always telling people what he does. And my dad's old and he's talking to other old people and they think it's cool.
About the video game stuff.
It is
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
In any case, if you ask the audience, concerts like Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses, they go beyond the shtick factor. There's something more going on here than a pop culture gimmick.
As a person who grew up in the 80s and who experienced Zelda first when it was a gold cartridge, you know, it's fascinating to hear then, I suppose, what would have been the score of the original Zelda had they had the technology to support it. The music sort of speaks for itself. And I know that because most people tend to come back to the Zelda Symphony, you know, I follow them on Twitter, we chat, and they'll say, oh, this is my third Zelda Symphony, or I traveled here from Des Moines all the way to Cincinnati or wherever to catch the symphony. You know, there are people that really are passionate about this particular work. And it's really an honor and a privilege to be a part of this grand tour.
That story was produced by me and originally published on the Northwest Nerd Podcast, Geek Edition's parent podcast. You can find other features like that and more over there. Music was by Zelda, Symphony of the Goddesses, originally composed by Koji Kondo. Thank you for listening. Until the next Geek Edition, I'm Dyer Oxley.